so many comments that are like, don't listen to her. Can't trust her. She clearly has Botox. And I say, what does that have to do with my skincare routine? Also, it's kind of like, I think of it like diet and exercise. There's this saying, you can't out-train a bad diet, right? So if you're going to spend all of this money getting a personal trainer and then you're going to eat McDonald's every day, it's not going to work. Why are you going to spend $1,500 getting a Fraxel and then just use water on your face at home and, you know, ridiculous skincare? They go hand in hand. But also, if I didn't have Botox and fillers, I would still have the same texture I have now because of my skincare routine.
Today's guest is Jillian Gottlieb. If you are in the skincare space on social media, you have probably seen Jillian's work. She is absolutely hilarious. She's actually an actress in her day job, but she started sharing skincare content about the skincare she uses, her skin type, procedures that she's done on TikTok many years ago, and has since amassed a huge following, and it is very easy to see why. She's funny, she's so smart, she's so well-spoken, very educated, and she shares her true, real experience. Like, you're getting it straight from the consumer's mouth, right? Straight from the patient, what it's actually like to get these procedures, to use these skincare products. She has a no BS approach, and as soon as I was introduced to her content, I knew that she had to come on the show because this is going to be an episode like you guys have never heard. You're used to hearing experts talk about the science behind skincare, and Jillian's incredibly smart. We touch on the science, absolutely, but she also just brings such a different approach to the conversation, a real, true, honest approach that I know that you guys are going to love. So sit back and enjoy. I want to thank you all so much for taking the time to rate and review the show on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to shows or subscribing to the YouTube channel, because it really does help me grow the show and get to the ears of more audience members that are interested in hearing about skincare education. And I want to give a special shout out to a review that I just read from Purdue Mom. It says, love listening to the podcast while driving for my sales job. My favorite is product recommendations are clinically supported and backed by research and studies. Great interviews as well. That is always the goal, to bring you evidence-based, research-backed recommendations. So Purdue Mom, if this is you, please shoot me a DM because I would love to send you a box of skincare goodies and my little Skinthusiast sweatshirt just as a thank you for taking the time to review the show. So I start every podcast asking my guests, what is your first skincare memory?
My first skincare memory, it's probably having acne. I think it's just like, isn't trauma like such a profound memory, right? We remember the bad and not the good. I remember having horrific acne, using Proactiv, like scrubbing it on my face like 5 times a day. I remember being on Accutane as like a young teen. Yeah, having acne and being ashamed of my skin is probably my first skincare memory.
That breaks my heart. Like, both as a mom and like as a derm provider, that's just the hardest thing about, I think, what we do, is seeing how much acne really affects your mental health, especially like your formative years going through that. It's
absolutely,
it is traumatic. So at what age were you put on Accutane?
God, I'd have to ask my parents, but I feel like it was 13 or so. I feel like it was very young. And, you know, it was different back then. This is going on like 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I did get some pretty bad depression while I was on it. And being so young and dealing with that, and, you know, my lips, the biggest side effect I had was my lips would constantly peel and bleed, and they were very uncomfortable. So I did 3 rounds, I think, of Accutane, and my acne went away. It didn't come back until my early 30s, and now I'm on spironolactone. Mm-hmm. But I've always struggled with acne. But yeah, as a teen, it's debilitating. You know, you get judged for it. People look at you. I got called pizza face all the time. Yeah. It's very traumatic. I feel for anybody that's struggling with acne, particularly the cystic acne is so tough to see.
Yeah, it's hard. And Accutane is a really fantastic medication. I think it gets demonized a lot.
Yes,
it's like one of the tools in the tool belt, right, that we have. But I mean, it's so tough. My mom actually got cystic acne like in her 40s after never having it her whole life. And so she had to go on Accutane in her 40s. So I always remember that because, you know, we think of it as a teenage medication, but
it's not.
It happens as our hormones change, whether it's perimenopausal. I see it a lot in like my 25 to 30 year olds get really bad acne flares.
Yeah.
For me, it happened when I was 25. I got terrible cystic acne I never had before.
Wow.
So it's so interesting how it really just varies.
It totally varies. And yeah, it's a misconception that only teens go on Accutane. And no, adults should go on it too. I mean, it's the best thing that we have. It's the best tool that we have for acne. I mean, I love being on spironolactone now. I'm happy on it. But
yeah.
If I'm stuck on this much longer, maybe I'll just do another round and knock it out, you know?
Yeah, and I get that. Especially, I think it's so easy to say that it's something you would never do. But when you're in that situation and you're so frustrated with your skin, you're willing to do anything, right? To just feel back to yourself.
There's no reason not to do it. I think it's like similar to the Ozempic debate of, oh, you're taking the easy way out, or you shouldn't take a pill for your skin. You should fix the insides. Well, what if you've tried everything? There are plenty of people that eat clean, plant-based, exercise every day, only use the cleanest skincare, you know, in quotes, and they still have horrific acne. And there's something that we have. There's something that dermatologists have that is available to you that can cure your acne.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Well, I didn't expect to get so technical so early podcast, but I love it.
I get too deep.
No, love it. No, I love it. I love it. I'm so excited for you to be here today. Like, you have no idea. Because I think the audience really gets to hear from someone who, like, you're coming at all of this. You are a skin expert in your own right because you've done all this for so many years, but you're really a consumer. Like, you try all these things and you tell your audience you're honest experience, which a lot of people don't do. You're 100% honest, and I just love that.
Thank you so much.
You're actually an actress, is that right?
Yeah, so I'm an actress. That's my full-time career. I did theater for many years. I stopped a few years ago. I was too tired, tired to keep going, and now I just do TV, film, and I started doing this skincare thing a few years ago, and I love it. I love having two full-time jobs. I adore it. It makes me so happy.
I love that. Yeah. What is there anything we would have seen you in? Any shows or TV?
Yeah, I've been in a lot of things. I was in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I was in the movie Bros. Coming up soon, I'm going to be in the show Elsbeth on CBS. So yeah, so a bunch of things.
Amazing. I love Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. That was like one of those things. I live across the country from my mom, and it was, you know, like one of those things that kept us chatting. It was such a great show. Really, really great. Well, that's amazing. So how did you start dabbling into sharing skincare? Were you already kind of sharing your life on social and then started sharing skincare? Or one day you just woke up and you were like, I'm going to talk about skincare on Instagram?
Yeah, so I had quit doing theater. And a few months after I quit doing theater, the pandemic happened. And I was very, very bored. And I refused to download TikTok. I barely used Instagram. And as things started opening up again, I was in my dressing room, actually, for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and I had about 8 hours until my scene. They called me way too early, and they were like, sorry, we're not using you until tonight. And I was like, okay, what do I do? So I downloaded, like, I opened up TikTok. I had posted, like, a few videos here and there. I, like, you know, I was like, I downloaded it. I didn't know what to post, though. I didn't know how TikTok worked. I thought it was, like, dancing, and I don't dance. And at that time, I think it was a lot of dancing videos. It was so much dancing. And I was like, so what the hell do I post, right? So I was like, I know what I can talk about. I can talk about I've had Botox and fillers. I feel like people aren't honest about things that they do, and I'm extremely proud of the work that I've had done. So I opened up the little camera app in my hair was in rollers. I was like in my dressing room and I filmed and posted like 10 videos explaining where I've had Botox and fillers, if it hurt, the process of it. And all of those videos went like not viral, but like so many comments, so many likes, so many shares. And I was like, oh God, does nobody talk about this from the perspective of the patient? And I was like, oh, maybe I'm onto something here. And that kind of fueled me wanting to learn everything I could about skincare. I brought my dermatologist in so we could do videos. And it just started my passion for this. And then eventually I had a second career.
I love that. And I love watching your content with your dermatologist. She is like so funny as well. I think you guys just have this amazing banter together, which is so fun to watch. And I love that you bring her on.
Thank you so much.
How long have you been seeing her?
Yeah, so I had a medical dermatologist, and I guess 5 years ago or so, I went to him and I said, I'm really upset with my under eyes. They were looking crazy. And he was like, well, I know the best cosmetic dermatologist there is. She works in this office in the room next door. And it was Claire, Dr. Claire. And I made an appointment with her and I never saw him again. And I switched to her. And I brought her into the TikTok slowly. And when I did, though, it was just a hit. There was no other patient-doctor duo. And I knew that I was just onto something, just honestly talking about everything. Fillers, Botox, lasers, microneedling, but also skincare. You have a dermatologist and you have a patient. And it's just became a good little thing that we ended up doing and still do.
Yeah, I love that. And it really is a relationship, right? And I love that you guys can share both sides of that, because it's a give and take, and you have to find a provider that really understands your aesthetic, understands your goals,
yeah,
all of that. So I love that you kind of show that. And since you mentioned it, I would love to hear a little bit about what procedures you have done. Obviously, we're going to get to your skincare, because I cannot stop looking at your skin. It's so glowing. But I want to first chat, since we already brought it up, about some procedures you've done, what you've loved, what you would pass on, anything you would never try.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So I did RF microneedling once and I'll never do it again. Mm-hmm. I really, really disliked it. I still have some scars on my forehead from it. It was not for me. I have Botox, I have fillers, I have a nose job. I love lasers. I would do lasers constantly if I could. I love chemical peels. I think the only thing that I would never do again is RF microneedling. I feel like I'm scarred from it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, and you have a really, like, you have kind of the perfect skin type for the lasers and the peels, because you're really low risk, right? Like, you don't have, like, a lot of melanin in your skin. I'm quote-unquote pale, but I'm of Greek descent, so
yes.
I just pigment so easily.
Right.
So that's really nice that you get to kind of dabble in all that fun stuff. Have there been any lasers that you, like, what's been your favorite laser that you've tried?
So I only do what my dermatologist has. So she has Fraxel, and I love Fraxel. And what we've found that works best on my skin is something that we've dubbed a mini Fraxel, which is, instead of 8 passes of the Fraxel dual, which is normal, we do 4 passes on just one wavelength, the 1927. My skin seems to absolutely love that. The other wavelength, the 1550, when we tried that, I flared. And flared means my melasma got worse. It was not good. So my skin seems to love this little half Fraxel that we do. So that's going to be my go-to. And I only do a laser treatment once a year. I do it every September when my melasma is the worst after the summer. And then when I'm done doing the laser treatment and I'm all healed, I do my hydroquinone for 2 months. And that lasts me through the entire rest of the year, pretty melasma-free. I'm so happy that I've figured out what works for me melasma-wise, but this seems to be it.
Oh, I love that. I had no idea you had melasma. You would never know by looking at your skin. So wow, that's really incredible that you found kind of the combo that works for you, because I think that's one of the hardest things with melasma. And a lot of people really can't tolerate laser with melasma either. So that's fantastic that you've been able to get the benefits of the laser while also keeping your melasma at bay. Any other tips and tricks that you found that your melasma responds to, or anything you found that makes it worse so you can give pointers on?
You know, the thing that really changed my life was Muesli, the spot cream, it's called. It's 12% hydroquinone, which is very high, but it's you know, I tried 4% hydroquinone before and it didn't do anything for me. And I have a lot of before and after pictures and videos that everyone can see. And my melasma was horrible. I mean, the reason that I found out about Muesli was I posted a video on TikTok not talking about my melasma at all. And all of the comments were like, girl, you should try Muesli. Like, that is some melasma. So I ordered it, and within a month my melasma was pretty much almost gone. So that is my go-to. I also really like Systemine for people that don't want to use hydroquinone for fear of, you know, ochronosis or just not wanting to use it. Systemine's great. Azelaic acid can be really good. I stay away from tranexamic acid pills. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are into them. My derm's not for them, so I stay away from that. But yeah, hydroquinone is my favorite.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, melasma can be so disheartening, and it's really about finding what works for you.
Oh,
and
yes.
I know I've seen some videos that you've posted about kind of some skin reactions that you've had in the past. And I think that's really key for people with melasma to know, as you've probably noticed, is that whenever our skin, I always say red turns to brown. So if your skin's getting red and irritated for any reason, it has the potential to flare your melasma if you don't take care of it. So while you might be using a cream, you know, my favorite example is I love Systeamine, but I used it once and oh my God, I got so red and irritated.
Did you?
I did a video and my point was, it doesn't matter if the cream is meant to treat pigmentation. If you're getting red and angry, it will make it worse.
Absolutely.
And this could be as easy as changing how often you're using it, changing what else you're using in your regimen with it, or maybe you need to try a different active ingredient. But I think that's really key to know about melasma. It's all about finding what works for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important also, you know, a lot of people look to the internet to find help. I think going to a dermatologist and finding somebody that you love to guide you is much more helpful than wasting all of your money on things that aren't going to work, whatever your skin issues are, you know, aren't going to fix those issues.
This episode is brought to you by, well, me. Skinthusiast.com is your one-stop shop for all things skin, hair, and beauty. I have countless blog posts to educate you on all the skin concerns and most common skin questions I receive. We also have a complete skincare basics guide on our shop page, as well as the cutest In My Skin Era crewnecks. If you want to support the show, please head over to skinthusiast.com/shop. And don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Yeah, you said something recently when I was doing research for this show, for this interview, you said fall in love with a provider, not a machine, or something along those lines.
My number one tip.
I love that. That is, I wish I could scream that from the rooftops, because so often I have patients come in all the time asking for a certain laser or a certain device.
They know what prescription
they want. Like, no, mm-hmm. it's not like, let's really look at your skin, because chances are if you've fallen in love with a device, it's because of something you've seen on someone else's skin.
Yeah.
Like it's so variable, you know,
you've seen
only the best results probably, or there's insane marketing. Like some of these RF microneedling devices, the companies are marketing like crazy. You see them on billboards all over. So people come in asking for devices by name. And I just think, like you said, it's so, so, so important to find a provider that you trust, you resonate with, you believe in their beauty aesthetic, because we all see beauty differently, and you have to kind of have a similar beauty eye as your provider. Otherwise,
Absolutely.
You're going to end up looking a way you don't want to look.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a machine is only as good as the hands that it's in. You know, same with Botox and filler. If you really like a natural aesthetic and all of the providers before and afters are huge duck lips, if you're going for lip filler, then that's not the same aesthetic that you want. So that's your clue to know that that's not the right person for you. But I think it matters so much more whose hands you're in than what machine is being used. Absolutely.
Yeah, that always cracks me up too when people come in asking like for a filler by name, like, oh, my friend had Wrestle and Kiss.
No, I want that.
It's like, wow. It's so much less about the product that's in the lips and so much more about who placed it. And it's just, or they saw a bad result, like, oh, she had Juvederm. I don't want that. It looks terrible. Like, that's nothing to do with the filler.
I feel like everything
to do with who put it there.
I'm going to be working so like overtime, just continuing to beat this topic like a dead horse. Like, I posted the video that you saw clearly. And still to this day, I get 10 to 15 DMs every day. Hi, Jillian, what filler is in your lips? I'd like that one. Hi, Jillian, what under eye filler do you have so I can request it? What's the laser that you love? I'm going to Google it and find who does it. And I say, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Do not go to a random person because they have a laser that I happen to like. That is the worst thing ever. Find a provider and fall in love with them, and they're going to have something that will work for your issues. They just will.
I love that. Oh my gosh, I wish more people understood that.
I'll continue to preach it.
Yes. Oh, I think you're doing an amazing job.
Oh, thank you.
So I want to touch a little bit on your skincare routine. Can you give us a little rundown of what you're using in the morning and what you're using at night?
Sure. My skincare routine is extremely, extremely simple, other than when I'm testing out products. So I wake up in the morning, I tone my skin with Thayer's in rose petal on a cotton pad. I've done this for 25 years. My skin loves it. Absolutely loves it.
I love that you just mentioned that because I love Thayer's. And I don't know if you ever get hate, but whenever I mention Thayer's, I get so much
hate. All the
time. And I have to educate on it, but it's hilarious. Like, there are some people who will come for you when you use Thayer's, and it's one of my favorites.
Because witch hazel has been demonized so badly, but people don't understand. People that have acne and are acne prone, witch hazel is wonderful. It's not drying. It honestly makes me feel very clean, not tight at all. And I think it really does control my acne very well. First thing in the morning, goes all over my face and my neck. I've done a bunch of videos on witch hazel and Thayer's in particular with my dermatologist and with my friend Alex, the cosmetic chemist, just breaking down why Thayer's is good. Yeah. Never been paid by Thayer's, but I should be.
Yeah.
So I do that. Then I do my vitamin C serum. I usually use SkinCeuticals CE Ferulic, my favorite. Wait a couple minutes. I do an eye cream, depends which one I'm testing out. I go between a bunch. Then Vanicream moisturizer with hyaluronic acid and ceramides. It's very, very light. And then I cover it up with my SPF, which is the Bloom Effects Mineral SPF. It's my favorite of all time.
Oh, I'm writing that down.
It is unbelievable. It gives you like a light tint, glowy. I've turned like 20 other skinfluencer people onto it, and they all love it.
Oh.
And that's my whole routine. I rarely ever wear makeup. I only wear makeup if I have an audition or if I'm on set filming. Otherwise, makeup doesn't touch my skin, and this is just something. So this is just the person I've turned into, I guess. I'm just a makeup-free person.
Is that intentional because your skin tends to be sensitive and acne prone, or is it just something you're not interested in?
No, it's just I just don't see. For me, I just don't care enough. Like, mm-hmm. I think my skin looks good. I'm happy. Like, if I don't have to, present my face somewhere, and I'm not gonna put it on. I've been going to events makeup-free. I don't know. I'm turning into Pam Anderson just a little bit.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started. I love this whole stance she's taking. It feels like I look at her and she looks so free and so happy.
She looks so good. Yeah.
I love it.
I just don't feel like I need, I used to use makeup to cover up my skin. Mm-hmm. And now I've worked so hard to get here. But it's not even like a conscious choice. If I don't have to wear makeup, I'm not going to wear it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So what about PM?
So nighttime, if I do wear makeup, I double cleanse. If I don't wear makeup, I just wash my face, Vanicream cleanser, tone my skin again with my Thayer's rose petal, wait a bit. Then I do my retinoid. I use tretinoin 0.05 all over my face. And then sometimes I use a moisturizer on top, which would be Vanicream moisturizer. And sometimes I don't. It depends how I feel. If I'm feeling dry, if I feel I need it. Otherwise, I just use the retinoid. Oh, eye cream before that, and that's it. It's like four steps. And then sometimes I'll alternate the retinoid with a chemical exfoliant or use the chemical exfoliant before the retinoid. Mm-hmm. But it's really, I call it my 5 and 5. It's like 5 steps in the morning, 5 steps at night. Easy peasy. And I love it. I've done it for years now.
I love that. And is your tretinoin a cream or a gel formula?
It's a cream. I have not tried the gel. I've heard from some people that they find the gel pills. I'm interested to try the gel, though, but I really love the cream. I do what I call my tiny dot method all over my face, little dots all over the face, rub it in. I love it. I use the cream. I get it from NERX, which is like very easy. I don't even get it from my dermatologist. I absolutely love it. If anybody needs retinoid, NURX.com, it's fantastic. I pay $90 and the tube lasts me like 6-7 months.
Man,
fantastic. They have you on like a 3-month auto pay. I turn that off right away.
Yeah,
I turn it off. I'm not playing that. I don't need that. Yeah, it lasts forever. And I love it. Fantastic.
What about neck and chest? Do you bring everything down?
Oh, yes. Every single thing I do to my face, I do to my neck, my chest, and the backs of my hands religiously. And then any exposed skin, of course, gets sunscreen. But I never, ever miss the neck, chest, backs of hands. And I also have my body routine. It's very similar to my face. I'll use a chemical exfoliant on my body a few nights a week, cover with moisturizer. And the other nights, I use retinoid, same thing I use on my face. I do that on my whole body and cover that with moisturizer as well.
Wow. Oh my gosh, you're so dedicated.
It doesn't take long, though. It's not like it's a long routine, but it's become second nature, right? I take a shower. What do? Well, I dry my top half. I grab my retinoid tube. I spread it all over. I grab my Prequel huge tube of body lotion. Like, it's just, you know, it becomes, people always tell me like, oh my God, Jillian, I couldn't do what you do. Like it's too hard. It's too complicated. I could never remember. I couldn't remember either at first. I printed out the order of products and taped it to my bathroom mirror until it became second nature. I'd have to check. I would literally check my steps, but mm-hmm. It becomes second nature. It just becomes very easy.
Yeah.
When
I sometimes do solo podcasts where I will just go through my AM and PM routine, and it includes everything, not just skincare, like all my rituals and routines. But I always have to say, because by the time I get done talking about the skincare routine, I feel like I've been talking for 10 minutes. And I'm like, I promise it takes me like 60 seconds to do all this stuff.
Exactly.
It is second nature once you get used to it. But for my patients, I always print out their regimen and I say, tape it to your mirror.
Yes.
It seems like a lot of steps, but you do it 3 nights in a row and you've got it down pat.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just print it out and tape it. It is so easy to follow along. And once it really does become second nature.
Yeah. And as a skinfluencer, how do you approach testing new products?
Oh, God. You know, it's hard for me because I have very, very reactive skin. I think I'm starting to get rosacea on one half of my face.
Oh, no.
So testing products is difficult. So when I'm testing a product, and this is something I recommend to everybody when they're, you know, trying a new product for the first time, never try more than one. Add one thing into your routine for a couple of weeks and see how that works. Don't add a bunch of things at once. That's where you run into problems. So if I have to test something for a brand, I will, you know, if it's a vitamin C, I'll remove the vitamin C I'm using and add that vitamin C in its place. The only thing I can tell right away whether I love is sunscreen. Mm-hmm. You can tell right away if you like a sunscreen, I think. I think you just kind of know how it fit. Like, you know, by the end of the day, if you're not cakey, if you're not pilling, if it still looks nice, like I'll give a thumbs up or a thumbs down to a sunscreen. Moisturizers, I got to test for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Vitamin C's, you got to test for a little bit. But it's difficult because I have such sensitive skin that I can't, you know, I'm not like a makeup influencer. I can't just try a bunch of different makeup and be fine. Skincare is really hard, and I really do take it very seriously that people are looking to me for honest advice. And I, everything I post, be it an ad or be it an organic video, I want to be 100% honest with that I've tried this product for weeks on end, and this is what I think about it.
Yeah, I love that. I think that trial period is so key because with skincare, you really cannot tell without giving it a fair shot and really using it with your other products and understanding how your skin responds to it. A lot of times I'll get messages like, oh, I use this product and it broke me out. If you broke out like true acne, like clogged pores 12 hours later, it probably wasn't that product, right? These things take time to happen aside from like a true reaction where you're reacting right away.
Yes.
But, you know, clogged pores, acne, things like that, these things take time. So you really need to test something out for quite a while before you can say whether or not it works with your skin.
Absolutely. I get messages like that all the time. Like, oh, Jillian, I bought the vitamin C you love and I woke up with a pimple the next day. And I say, you would have woken up with that pimple regardless. I promise you.
Yes.
It wasn't
exactly
one little dot of vitamin C you applied, I swear.
Yeah, exactly. I always tell people, you know, acne is an 8-week cycle. So what I say to my patients is the pimple you get today started at least 8 weeks ago, right?
Yes.
So like think back to 8 weeks ago, what you were doing. No one does that. No one can remember.
Right.
So that's not how we troubleshoot, but it's just a good way to think about it. So you're not blaming things that are kind of innocent in your routine.
Yeah, the pimple has been growing. It's been waiting to show you that it's here. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So we mentioned that you have super reactive skin. What are some tips and tricks you have for anybody else who might be super sensitive but also loves skincare?
Oof, God. Well, I keep prescription hydrocortisone with me everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the best thing. People might think I'm crazy, but like it never leaves my purse. I have a patch on my cheek that is insanely reactive. So if I'm not wearing any makeup and I'm out somewhere and I see it happening, I do a tiny dab of the hydrocortisone and it goes away in a couple hours. I also am really liking hypochlorous acid spray. So if I'm feeling reactive, I'll wash my skin and I will spray that on and it kind of immediately soothes and calms my skin, which I love. And then if I need the hydrocortisone, I'll use that as well. But I would tell people to patch test. Absolutely. Everything you use, if you're trying a new product and you have reactive skin, patch test, and then wait a couple minutes, see what happens. Are you burning? Are you turning red? If not, go a little bit further. I've started doing a little patch test here, then moving on to like another half of my face. And last, I'll do my little very reactive area. But yeah, you have to be careful. If you have reactive skin, you can't just go slathering anything on and thinking you'll be okay. You're going to be okay. That's where you get into trouble, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing, I like that you mentioned that, because one thing I tell my patients with patch testing, you'll always read to like put it behind your ear or put it on your arm. But we're using so many other products that skin does not react the same way that your face or your neck skin does.
I always say patch test your face. Do not
It doesn't make sense.
I patch test my inner arm and then I put it on my face. And my face turned bright red. And I said, because your arm is not your face. You have to patch test your face. Absolutely.
Yeah. You're not using your peel pads and your retinoids on your inner arm. So that skin is acting differently. And sometimes those actives don't jive, right? Because as amazing as these anti-aging ingredients are, they do sometimes have some barrier implications, which is why we're so cautious about the cleansers and moisturizers we use. You know this. So it's not going to react the same. It's so funny. I just filmed a video about that this morning, about not patch testing behind your ear. I can't believe we're talking about it now.
Yeah. That's a great tip. Yeah. Patch test your face. Have your hydrocortisone. You can get cortisone from CVS for $5. Grab it. Keep it in your medicine cabinet. Have it ready to go just in case.
Yeah. And this is something I do prescribe for my very reactive patients, and something I use myself. I also have prescription hydrocortisone in my skincare shelf. Yeah. And it's not something I have to use very often, but just knowing I have it on hand is helpful. And it's not something you want to be, as you know, applying to your face daily.
No.
That's a no-no. But in these specific cases, especially for somebody who's prone to something like melasma, you want to nip that irritation in the bud as soon as you can.
Absolutely. The second that you see it, I mean, now I know, I check my skin. The second I see something happening and I see that little like pustule forming, oh God, we wash it, we tone it, we hydrocortisone it. 2 hours later, it's gone. And then I actually wash it off and we're good.
So you're using your witch hazel toner on the sensitive areas, or a different toner?
No, I will use a hydrating toner. I won't use the witch hazel toner after I cleanse this area. I will use something that has just like hyaluronic acid, glycerin, are not any sort of acid, anything that could irritate, especially this area. But my Vanna Cream cleanser, pat dry, and then we keep the sensitive area away from anything irritating.
Yeah, that's so funny that it's just one little area. It's not uncommon, though. It's something I see often. And you said you think that you might be getting rosacea.
I do. I think I'm developing it. The same exact spot turns bright red and gets pustules when I have alcohol. So I've stopped drinking alcohol. Yeah. It's really fun. And honestly, I'm fascinated by it. I'm excited about this. I love everything skin. And I'm excited to finally have have another condition that I can do videos on. I think it's great.
I love it. Why not? Love it. And it's so common. And, you know, I see a lot of rosacea and melasma hand in hand, because we know that melasma has a vascular component to it. Yeah. And obviously rosacea does. Rosacea is all about vascularity. So it's really interesting. I have both, and I see them hand in hand all the time.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So my worst area of melasma is the same area that I've developed the rosacea.
Yeah.
This is also the area that I was flared the worst with Fraxel a few years ago. So this area has been through a lot. It's like not happy. It's like finally coming to tell me that it's miserable and hates me. But yeah, I find it very interesting.
Yeah, I do too. So we did chat a little bit about in-office procedures you've tried, what you think has been the most impactful. How often are you going in for your Botox and filler? This is going to be different for everybody, but what's your like yearly routine like?
Yeah, so when I first started, it was way, way more. I would go in often, like every 3 months. My injector says her saying is it takes a lot to gas up and it takes very little to maintain. So we did a lot to gas up. And when I got to the point where we were like, okay, this looks good, then we moved on to the maintenance step, right? So now it's 5 years later after I've started doing things, and I haven't had Botox in almost 9 months now. I've really slowed down on the Botox. Mm-hmm. I just feel like for TV and film acting, I need to be able to move my face a lot more. So the only thing I do is a lip flip, which is Botox. And I do that once every 3 months or so, just one unit on either side of my lip for gummy smile. Fillers, once a year, I will do lip fillers. I'm going to do that in about a week, actually, my year touch-up, and we do 0.25 of a syringe of whatever my doctor chooses. I have no say on that. I trust her. She does what's best. And yeah, I think that's it. I've really slowed down. I have under-eye filler. They lasted 5 years. Mm-hmm. Mid-face filler, once a year or less. We did this about a year ago. I'm still fine. I don't want to be any more chipmunky than I am.
I love it.
And that's really it. Oh, and I do get Botox in my platysmal bands, which I really, really enjoy. I probably do that twice a year. So once every 6 months. I could definitely use it more, but it's a lot. It's expensive and it's a lot of tox. But, you know, my neck can look a little crazy on camera. So I like to address that if I can.
Yeah, I think those bands are such, I don't want to say a giveaway for aging because young people have them. But like when I see myself talk on video, I'm like, oh, I need to get those bands in check because they just start popping right out.
They age you. And I got to say, like, I just had 96 units injected a month ago. And if you can see, like, they're still here.
Yeah.
Not as bad, but like they're here. They're chilling. I've also had horizontal tech neck lines since I was about 10 years old. I used to get made fun of for that all the time. People used to say I was wearing a necklace, and I don't know why that hurt my feelings so bad, but as a 10-year-old, I was like, I'm not wearing a necklace. It's my necklines. So now as an adult, I haven't had them filled in over a year, but I saw my dermatologist a couple weeks ago, and she was staring at my neck, and I was like, what are you staring at? And she was like, we should really do your neck, you know, your neck filler. And I was like, yeah, you're right.
It's so funny, though, like, because now everybody has tech neck lines. I always tell people, I'm like, yeah, we can address them absolutely if it's within your budget. But just know every single person is walking around with these now because
we're looking at our
literally
phones
all
like
day
this.
Long. Yes.
I catch myself and when I edit videos on my phone, I keep my neck like this.
Yeah.
And I edit like this. I catch myself. You will not see me looking down at a phone. No, no, no.
I love that. I was recently randomly watching Paris Hilton's reality TV show, which I didn't know she had. Yeah. I was watching something else and it like the show ended and it like automatically went into it.
That's great.
And she does everything on this like little tripod. Even when she's like FaceTiming, she's like holding it up, and I'm like, I wonder if it's like
her
for
doctor told
reasons.
Her.
Yeah,
her,
but
her doctor
like,
was
so
like,
genius.
Don't look down.
Yeah,
down. You're gonna ruin your neck. I love that. I love that.
So queen. Smart.
What a queen.
So smart. I know. Oh my gosh, she's amazing. I used to be obsessed with her when in the days of the Simple Life, and now I feel like I'm coming back around. It's like
I love
she's
the
amazing.
Simple Life. Yeah,
yes.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. Okay, any at-home devices that you use?
The only thing I use is an LED mask, but I don't use it enough for it to make a difference. If you want to see a difference in your skin with an LED mask, you got to freaking use it like every day, 10 minutes a day. Hell no. Like I don't remember to do that, and I'm certainly not setting an alarm to do that. So I'll use it when I can, but that's the only thing that I do at home. I don't do any microcurrent, anything like that. Also, I feel like when you have Botox and fillers, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. Like, you paid to have the things placed where you want them. Like, just leave them be. Like, you don't need to change anything. But I do recommend LED masks if you're going to use them, you know, every day. Otherwise, don't waste your money. Skincare. Yeah. Skincare is my biggest, my thing. I tell everybody, be diligent with your skincare. You can make huge changes. The biggest difference in my face has been from using retinoid almost every single night. I'm telling you, like, yes, things look a little different. Like, my under eyes are filled. I got a new nose and stuff. But the texture, the quality of my skin, that's not from Botox. That's not from fillers. That's from retinoid. That's from vitamin C. That's from wearing sunscreen every single day. You can really change your skin, and it doesn't have to be that expensive.
Yeah, I always like to mention to my patients, I can beat almost any laser with the right skincare routine consistently.
Absolutely.
If you're on the right routine for years, it will beat this one laser. It's going to be a lot more cost effective, but you have to be consistent, persistent, and you have to understand what really works for your skin. And I'm sure you get this a lot because I do, which it always fascinates me that people are shocked that I do Botox and things like that, because I'm like, you know, that's what I do for a living, right?
Yeah.
I'm not like, yes, social media is also my job, but I'm actually injecting. Like, why would I not inject myself? That's crazy.
Right.
But I always get like, oh, of course your skin looks good because you do Botox.
Oh,
I'm like,
I get
do you understand what Botox does? Yes, there is some skin benefit, and we're only just starting to understand that it can help with, like, you know, sebum production and at the pilosebaceous unit and all of that. But my skin is not looking good and glowing because of Botox. Like, those are two completely different things.
I cannot tell you, almost every single skincare routine video that I post, I do these like longer ones where I really break down how to do a skincare routine. I get so many comments that are like, don't listen to her. Can't trust her. She clearly has Botox. And I say, what does that have to do with my skincare routine? Also, it's kind of like, I think of it like diet and exercise. There's this saying, you can't out-train a bad diet, right? So if you're going to spend all of this money getting a personal trainer and then you're going to eat McDonald's every day, it's not going to work. Why are you going to spend $1,500 getting a Fraxel and then just use water on your face at home and, you know, ridiculous skincare? Yep. They go hand in hand. But also, if I didn't have Botox and fillers, I would still have the same texture I have now because of my skincare routine.
Yep.
Things might look a little saggier, but I mean, it would be the same texture. It would be the same quality.
100%. I think that's something that people just don't understand.
They don't.
Okay, so I want to do some rapid fire questions.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And they might be a little bit difficult because I know favorites are very hard in this space because there's so many amazing products. But rapid fire, if you had to pick one, what's your favorite skincare brand?
Oh, Vanicream. That's easy.
Okay. Wow, that's so easy. Great. And incredibly affordable, gentle, great for all skin types.
Changed my life.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Favorite sunscreen? Oh, you already told us.
Bloomeffects Tulip Dew SPF Mineral 50. It is the greatest sunscreen. I have tried hundreds of sunscreens at this point. This is the one that I'll test out others, but I'll go back to that the next day.
Yeah. Where do you find it? Where do you buy it?
So you can get it from Bloomeffects website, or Credo, I think, has it too, it's unbelievable.
Okay. We'll link it in the show notes for everybody to try.
20% off with code Jillian, always.
Jillian. All right. I'll put that in the show notes. Okay. So do you double cleanse?
Only when I wear makeup. For me, I wash my face and I tone. Some people don't tone, so maybe they would need the double cleanse. But because I use toner, the cleansing and then the toning, it gets all the gunk off my face.
That's like your insurance step. That's how you get all, the rest off.
Exactly.
Favorite peel pad, if you use one?
Oh, my favorite peel pad. So it's funny. My favorite of all time is the Strivectin Daily Reveal Exfoliating Pads. I've used them for years. I have put hundreds of people on these pads and they have sworn by them as the greatest pads ever. Recently, this cheek can't handle them.
Oh no.
So I think I'm gonna start go back to my other fave, which is the ultra gentle Dr. Dennis Gross peel
pads. Oh, I
love
those.
They're
those
fantastic.
So
now the Strivectin, the reason I love them though is because they're half price and double the amount of pads. Mm-hmm. And they are such a dupe for the Dr. Dennis Gross ones, but they're a little strong.
That's good to hear.
They're incredible.
Because I'm always asked about that. I cut my Dr. Dennis Gross ones in half and stick the other half back in the packet.
I want you to try the Strivectin and let me know.
I will. I'll try those. I have rosacea. I'm also very sensitive. So what's funny is when I was in my 20s, I mentioned I had pretty bad acne. It was before I worked in dermatology. I was working in critical care at the time. I knew nothing about skincare. And the Dr. Dennis Gross peel pads are what cleared me up. And I just happened to find them randomly.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know how I first got onto them, but it's so funny because I've never worked with Dr. Dennis Gross, but they're probably the people I talk about the absolute most. And I always say, like, I will die on that hill because of how much they saved my skin. But I cannot tolerate the extra strength anymore.
No, me
sometimes
neither.
I can do
close.
The middle, what's it called? The universal sometimes. But more often than not, I'm reaching for the ultra gentle. It's crazy how your skin really changes.
I can't tolerate the universal or the extra strength either. And I used to be able to. But I love the peel pads, how big they are. Mm-hmm. Because I just, you unfold it and then you can really get your neck, the backs of your hand. You can get everything. These other peel pads are just a little too tiny. Yeah. This is like a massive amount of pad. I love that.
Yeah, I get my back. I get like inside my ears, behind
my
ears.
Yeah, you get everywhere. Oh, I get,
the backs of my arms and legs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's just, if you have KP, any of that stuff, it's great.
Oh, fantastic.
Love those.
Love it.
Okay, favorite in-office procedure if you had to pick one?
Fraxel.
Okay.
Yeah, I did the mini, what we're calling the mini half of Fraxel in September. No pain, really no pain, no downtime really. I was left with like glowy, beautiful skin. I was like, this is it. I don't need to continue to try out new lasers. I found what my skin really likes for now.
Okay. Love that. And favorite luxury product? Do you use any products? Oh. It could be beauty, it could be skin, hair.
Well, SkinCeuticals CE Ferulic. Mm-hmm. I think that is my favorite vitamin C. And I gotta say, the Augustinus Botter Rich Cream is such a luxe, delicious moisturizer. You put it on and you look like you're about to walk the red carpet. If you want to try a fancy-ass moisturizer, that's the one I recommend, truly.
I love that. So the Dermstore sale is going on right now. And people, one of the questions I got when I was talking about it was like, what are you buying? And I'm like, Augustinus Botter, because it's so expensive, but it's one of those luxury brands, yeah. I actually do believe is worth it. Like, I love, I have been lucky enough to try a lot of their products, and I still repurchase them myself, and I haven't tried any of their products I didn't love. We use their shower gel. I have to hide it from my husband because he likes it, and it's too expensive for him to use. It's only a me product.
Yeah.
But I love the rich cream. They have a sensitive skin cream that's amazing. Such a great brand.
Fantastic. I think I love all of their stuff, but for me, the rich cream is the one that's worth doing a Dermstore sale purchase.
Yes.
Get the little trial size, too. They have a mini one that's like, with the Dermstore sale and all the, you know, codes Dermstore gives you. I believe I got mine for $45. I paid for it. I was like, I need another.
I do too.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. So good. It's one of those luxury brands I will repurchase. I love it.
It's worth it.
Favorite launch of the last year?
Oh, that's easy. It's Prequel.
Oh my God. So good.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's an easy one. I think probably that came to me because I was just thinking about Prequel. I think they have some of the best moisturizers ever. Mm-hmm. That is what I use at night on my body, straight from the shower with my retinoid. Fantastic. The barrier cream and there's one in a pump.
They have the one with lotion. Urea. Yeah.
The urea one in the pump. And then they have a foot cream that is unbelievable.
Yeah, I use it too.
I think Prequel is amazing and so affordable. I mean, huge tubes for $20. You got to try the moisturizers. Yeah, fantastic.
Have you tried the cleanser?
Okay, the cleanser. It's not for me. I love everything Prequel. I don't like slimy textures, and this is 50% glycerin.
You glycerin.
You can feel it, and I've tried it a couple times. I'm trying to get used to it because I really want to love it because I know everybody loves it, but there's something about the texture that's just like, it kind of goops off of my face. Maybe I have to do a better water to cleanser ratio, but it's the only one that I'm like, it's a texture thing for me. It's not the product because my skin after, I was like, oh, it's smooth, it's great, but like, it's a texture thing.
Yeah, I love that cleanser. Try more water. See if that helps at all. Yeah.
I think less product, more water
need
to try.
Exactly. Because it's just like that humectant is so high in there that you really need that water to like break it up.
Can I tell you though, my absolute favorite new cleanser of this year that rivals Vanna Cream? Do you know what it is?
No.
It's Rode. Rode.
Oh, you know, have it to open next because I actually love their glazing fluid.
I need to try the cleanser next.
Okay. It's literally on my shelf in my bathroom, like ready for me to open it.
Cleanser. It hydrates better. I mean, it lathers better than anything I've ever, like a perfect lather. No smell. You take it off and your skin is like silky smooth. Like I was like, oh. Sometimes I use that over my Vanna cream, and I have never done that before in my life. Like at
now
night,
I'm so excited.
At night, alone, I'm not filming any videos. It's Vanna cream. Like that's my girl. Past couple weeks, I've been like, I'm gonna take tonight. We're washing with Rode. Like it is that good.
You know, I really. So Ron Robinson is the chemist behind. I just interviewed him recently. He's the chemist behind Rode, and. It was funny because Rode sent me when they first launched and I tried it and I was like, wait, this is like good stuff. And then the glazing fluid came out and I was like, this is like my favorite. I also love the Thayer's Milky Toner, but I'm like, this is like one of my favorite like milky toners ever. Yeah. And then I realized, oh, Ron is the one making all of these formulations.
Totally.
So now it makes sense why they're so incredible because we don't usually see that with celebrity skincare lines.
I don't like any celeb skincare lines. Yeah, I did like a first impression review of Rode and I gave it a bad review just because I was I was just like, what is it? Like, I don't think it's that great. And then next couple days, I kept trying it and I found myself like continuing to use it. And then I was like, oh, I'm an asshole. Like, this is pretty good. Like, this is pretty good. And then I saw Ron did it and I was like, oh, okay. Like, I take back what I said. Like, it's good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's
really
good.
I really like their products a lot. Okay, so what do you say to the haters? I know that you, because you're so open and you have a very like distinct style with your content, I'm sure that you get some haters on social. How do you deal with it?
Some. I get so many, but I you know, I love the nasty comments because it makes me think of how can I make the funniest response. So usually I respond as funny as I can. And then that comment gets a billion likes. And I'm like, I just destroyed your mean comment.
I love that.
I don't know what to say to the haters. I have so many. It's strange. I think, like, I would just say, like, go away.
Mm-hmm. Why are you here?
Like, why are you here? Like, if, you know, I have almost everybody that is a troll to me also follows me, which I find very strange. You know, I'll click their page and they follow. And they say, oh, God, I hate Botox. The fillers are disgusting. Or, you know, you only look this way for Botox and fillers. You're here. I post the same shit every day. You're here. You're listening. You're watching. Like, there, you must be here for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would say, like, go away or leave a comment and I will just, you know, be funny to your comment back. Like, I they don't bother me. They used to hurt my feelings. And now I'm like, you're not real. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to live my life. Like, I have so many more fans than I have trolls, and I try really hard to keep that in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you have to. That's
you cool. have to, and you can't let social media destroy your life. You know, when I put mm-hmm. the phone down, I don't want to think about them. I don't mm-hmm. want to think about the people that are rude to me. I don't want that. I want to give my energy to the all the millions of DMs and comments I get that ask questions, and I can help people. Mm-hmm. If you don't like me, go away.
I agree. What is your most underrated skincare tip?
Underrated skincare tip. I would say less is more. You know, you don't need a 48-step routine. You don't need a separate hyaluronic acid serum if everything you're using already has hyaluronic acid in it. You don't need these separate collagen boosters and the peptide booster wrinkle extreme. Keep it simple, stupid. Like that.
Yep.
The KISS method. Like yep. just less is more. I yep. think people can really damage their skin and not know why. And then they'll be like, okay, so I used an azelaic acid. Then I used this peel pad that has AHAs, BHAs, PHAs. Then I dotted my pimples with salicylic acid. And then I used my retinoid. And why does my skin not look good?
Yeah.
Less is more.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly on that one. Absolutely. And this may be one you may have already said, but what's your holy grail skincare product, like Desert Island?
Desert Island. I'm just going to take SkinCeutical CE Ferulic with me. I'm going to be bougie.
Yeah, I love it.
I think it's fantastic.
You can't go wrong. It's the best for a reason. It really is such an incredible formulation.
Yeah.
And very last question. If you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Oh, God. I could tell myself so many things. I think the only thing that comes to mind right now is to stop plucking my eyebrows. Tell myself you're going to get microbladed when you're 30-something. And you're not going to have any real hair and you're going to be forced to get microblading. So put the freaking tweezers down and stop.
I love that one. I think that is sound advice.
Yeah.
Hopefully something that the coming generations don't have to deal with, although it's alarming that the skinny brows are coming back.
No, not to me. No way.
I think it's going to be just like a runway thing. I really do. I hope Fine. It's not going to be mainstream.
Keep it on the runway. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. I'm with you there. Well, thank you so much, Jillian, for taking the time to chat with me today. This is awesome. I know the audience is going to love this episode.
Yay, this was so fun. Thank you so much, Amy. Yes.
I would say I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation, but I know that you probably did because I felt so energized after talking to Jillian. I just felt like the conversation flowed so smoothly because she just has such a great personality. And I feel like our minds are on the exact same wavelength when it comes to skincare and procedures. Like, we just come from the same approach, and I really enjoyed speaking with her. I do hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. And if you have any questions for me or Jillian, please just comment them in the IG reel that I posted on my feed. That way we can answer them for you. And if you haven't already rated and reviewed the show, please do so because it helps me so much. And I can't wait to talk to you next week, Skinthusiasts.